Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, we ask that through your spirit that your word will deeply be rooted in our lives, that through your power and by your grace, that each and every one of us this morning will be encouraged to live for Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. So we've been looking at our motto and considering what it means. Because the last thing we want is to have a motto that is meaningless or a motto that is just on paper. A motto that does not shape us when making decisions is actually useless. So it's good to think about those words, know Christ, live Christ and share Christ. So last Sunday we looked at know Christ and I said that it had three aspects to it. I'm going to sort of put it into one sort of sentence. Know Christ meant making him known because we know him personally. And we're committed to getting to know him more and more every day. But coming out of knowing Christ is the desire to live Christ. Live Christ means living for Christ. That's our purpose. Live Christ also is living like Christ, and that's our witness to the world. If we change this part of the motto, we could change it to things like live family, live kids, live work, live sports, live hobbies. And I think we would begin to get the idea that when we say live something, it means living for that particular thing that gives us purpose, that drives us each day. Whatever we live for will shape our lives, will shape our priorities, will shape the decisions we make, the people we mix with, the jobs we want, and the person we want to be with. If we do claim that we know Christ, that we know him personally and know his worth, then we will live Christ in every area of our lives. To live Christ is to live for him. That's our purpose. That's the Christian's purpose. And we want to live like Christ so that other people may see the difference that he makes in our lives. We want to make him attractive. Living Christ is a choice that every person who claims to follow Christ or know Christ makes every day to live out. The Apostle Paul was a man who hated Christ. He hated Christ before he met Christ. He lived for one purpose, to get rid of Christ. And then he met Christ. After meeting Christ, his life was radically changed. The Apostle Paul was a man whose life was so changed that for him now was to live by faith in Christ. So I'm going to focus on verse 20 of that passage in Galatians chapter 2, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Paul says, I no longer live, he means that he is no longer the centre of his universe. He is no longer the most important person in the world. He means that his desires no longer rule him. He no longer lives for himself or what he can get out of life. He now lives for Christ, by Christ. He is no longer egocentric, the I focus, but he's Christocentric. Christ is now the centre of his life. When the I rules, then I am ruled by my desires, my pleasures, my ambitions. But the Bible says that when the I rules, that's the old nature, the old self of the Christian. And that old self is under the power of sin, under the dominion of sin, and under the condemnation of God for sin. So a life focused on me, myself, and I leads to death. But if we've met Christ, then it's not about me, myself, and I. It's all about him. And that leads to life. I've moved from being egocentric, me, myself, and I, at the centre and the heart of all things, to being Christocentric. Jesus Christ is now at the centre and at the heart of all things. That's why Paul says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. this relationship that Paul has, that every Christian has, is based on faith or trust in a person, a particular person, the Son of God. It is this relation that gives Christians the power to live for Christ and by Christ. The Christian no longer lives an independent life from God. The Christian lives a life in believing dependence in the Son of God. Why does a Christian do that? Paul tells us, because the Son of God loved him and was crucified for him. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is the reason for every Christian. The Son of God loved me. The Son of God was crucified for me. Martin Luther, the reformer, in his commentary on Galatians, says about this verse, "He that can with a firm and constant faith save these words with Paul, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, is happy indeed." Happy. Joyful. Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. See, these words encourage God's people. These words equip every Christian to live for Christ. It wasn't just anybody who did this, it was the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the second person of the Godhead. The Father loved the Son and sent him into the world to die for sinners, for us. The Son loved the Father and went willingly, lovingly, taking on our humanity and died. The Son of God loved you, and out of that love for you, he gave himself up to death on a cross. He allowed himself to be betrayed and taken by wicked men because he loved you. He allowed himself to be mocked and abused by Jewish and Roman authorities because he loved you. He allowed himself to be crucified because he loved you. He gave up his life because he loved you. That, my friends, is the reason why every Christian seeks to live Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "And he," that's Christ, "died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." The Son of God rescued you from the kingdom of Satan and brought you into his kingdom. The Son of God took a sinner and made you into a saint. The Son of God delivered you from the power and presence of sin and brought you under his rule of grace. Through the Son of God, you have been adopted into God's family. You are Jesus' brother or sister. You are a child of God, and you can call God Father. That's why a Christian doesn't live for himself or herself. Doesn't live for their family, doesn't live for their career, doesn't live for their sporting team, doesn't live for their hobby, doesn't live for their country. A Christian lives for Christ, the person who loved them and gave his life for them. That is the motivation. That is the thing that continues to encourage us and empower us to live Christ in all situations. This life is based on faith, a humble trust in Jesus Christ, whereby we receive the strength and the grace that we need to follow him. Through faith, we're joined, we're linked with this person, Jesus Christ. Through faith, we put Christ first because he put us first. We live for Christ because of what he did for me. It's for this reason that Christians seek to live lives that honour and please the Lord in any and every area of our lives and in every situation, big or small. We heard this morning from Tony and Dan how they live Christ before the people that they work with when doing musicals. Living for Christ is a daily choice in all our circumstances. Paul prays for the Christians in Colossians this way. He asks the Lord to fill them with a knowledge of his, as God's will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Our purpose in living for Christ is to live like Christ as a witness to the world about Christ. To live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that honours and pleases him and bears fruit through good works. Tony and Dan prayed, that was a good work. Dan refused to blaspheme, that was a good work. Jesus tells us, let your life shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Apostle Peter says to Christians, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus saying, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show them that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. See, our purpose, if we embrace our motto, is to live for Christ by honouring and pleasing him, and in so doing, we are a witness to God's grace in our life. Our lives make the gospel attractive. Our lives can make the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ attractive, or it can repel people. This morning I want to invite Rob to come up and share how he lives Christ out at Waniasa Public School. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Now, just two questions, and he knows all about these. So what do you do at Waniasa Public School?
For two mornings a week, I go down and help a young refugee child just do his work in class. He gets distracted quite easily, and also not having English as his first language. And I think it's incredible how far he's gone with English and understanding things. I can help him out by letting him know certain things, things that he's reading or whatever that he may not understand, and help him that way. Also try to get him focused on learning and learning the way that we do in schools in Australia. And just generally being there for him and helping him out. That's basically what I do.
How long have you been doing that again?
I think I've probably been... I was trying to work it out. I think it's about 6 years I've been down there. I've been helping out kids before this present one, but I've known him since the end of year three and now he's in year six. Okay. So I've had a bit of continuation with him, which has been good.
And why do you do this?
There's been a theme this morning all the way through, and I've been thinking about it, that there are two things that we need in life, and one of them is life itself, and the other thing is love. And even with the children's talk and all the theme along this morning, there's love and life, and both of those have been provided to us by God through Jesus Christ. And as Peter's been saying, that Christ died for our sins so that we have eternal life. And I believe this, that we have eternal life. And God has provided that through Jesus dying for our sins, that we can then go on forever living with him, with his love and with his continuation of life. And why I go down to the school is because this child is having problems with life at the moment, and I've been able to help him just a little bit. The teachers have been really good. The teachers are excellent. They've been putting him on the right track and helping as much as they can. But when you've got one child in the class that's not really keeping up, and you've got to look after 22 others or whatever, it is really difficult. You can't just, stop everything and to help out one child. So I've been able to help him through life. And also because of Jesus and his love for me, I've been able to show a bit of love towards that child. And also the teachers know this. There are three people at the moment from churches that have been helping out down at the school. At one stage there were eight people helping from churches down at the school, and the teachers know, the parents know, and the children know that we're Christians, which I think is a great thing.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
So there's just another example of what it means to live for Christ, and a good work that is a witness to what Christ has been doing in Rob's life and each of our lives. Every day, Christians make a choice to live for Christ. And it's not just in those particular situations, being with a musical group or with school, but of course in your homes, in our homes, at school, at university, at work, at sport, on holidays. No matter where we are seeking to live Christ. Every day when we feel pride, when we're under pressure to maybe impress others or seek applause to others, the Christian who lives for Christ will actually choose humility and not pride. When we are tempted to sexual immorality, watching porn on the internet, the Christian who lives for Christ will choose holiness, will choose faithfulness. When we feel hurt or abused by others and we want to get back at them, the Christian who lives for Christ will actually choose to forgive. Every day when we may feel undervalued or ignored or passed over for that job and we feel bitter and angry, the Christian who lives for Christ chooses to trust God and leave it in his hands. When we feel like hating people because they've hurt us, they've done something or said something, the Christian who lives for Christ chooses to love because we were and are loved. Every day we have these choices. Every day we are tempted to behave, think, act, respond in certain situations. And every day we're called to live as people who live for Christ, to make a different choice than those around us. But the only way we can continue to live Christ is to keep Christ as our main focus, as the centre of our lives, as the one we most value. Glaucoma is a disease that damages your eye's optic nerve. It usually happens when fluid builds up in the front of your eye. The extra fluid increases the pressure in your eye, damaging the optic nerve. It's a common problem in some families. It's genetically linked. And, of course, people over 40. That's why when I have an eye test, I always get checked for glaucoma. By God's grace, it's always been clear. And the most common form of glaucoma, the open-angle glaucoma, starts with a slight loss of side vision, peripheral vision. But it has no pain. It has no discomfort. And it lacks symptoms. So it's very hard to detect. So there's a danger there when you can't really see what's actually happening. The other type is closed-angle glaucoma, where the iris can end up blocking the drainage angle. You can think of it like a piece of paper sliding over a sink drain. When the drain angle gets completely blocked, the eye pressure rises very quickly, and it can result, if not treated, in blindness. The danger is that we can become blind to Christ. We can lose our focus on Christ and therefore no longer live for Christ. How do we do this? Well, we start deciding, well, we don't want to hang out with Christians anymore. Or maybe not as often. They're not as exciting or fun as the other people in my life. We begin to just lose our focus on Jesus. We start avoiding growth group. We've got more important things to do. It's just not part of my schedule or part of the things that I actually value. And then we become irregular at church. So our vision slowly becomes more blocked, becomes hazy. We no longer see the beauty, we no longer see the worth, we no longer see the value of Christ. We start making decisions that honour and please me. And we tell ourselves, we can see clearly. But it's happening because now Christ is no longer clearly in our vision. If you want to know if you are living Christ, if you want to know is maybe your vision is a bit hazy, maybe getting misty or foggy, then maybe ask yourself this question, or another Christian that you may want to encourage. Here's the question. How does this action, this decision, bring honour and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a very simple question, isn't it? How does this action, this decision, bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. For the person who lives for Christ, the question is never about what makes me happy, what gives me pleasure, how does this fulfill my goals? But the question is always, and should be, how does this please Jesus? How does this make Jesus attractive to the people that I know around me? If we made our choices based on asking this particular question, how differently would we live? So what does it mean to live Christ? It means putting everything we do and the choices we make and the things we say under Christ so that we will honour and please him. And why should we do it? What's our motivation? There's only one motivation, my friends. Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself up for me. That is the only motivation. That's enough. If you know Christ, that is enough. So let's encourage one another to keep knowing Christ so that we will all have the same purpose, to live for Christ and to live like Christ so that we'll make the gospel attractive to those who we know and meet, no matter where or when. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do ask that through your Spirit, that glorious truth that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me will shape us, motivate us, encourage us, equip us to live Christ in every situation, in making any decision. Forgive us when we haven't lived for Christ, when we've lived for I, myself, and me. Lord, bring us to a point of truly valuing, seeing the beauty, experiencing the love of Christ in our own lives, so that as we live, we may share that love with those around us. And we ask it in his name. Amen.